Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I'm so excited to share with you our fabulous guest for the day. But before I do, let me welcome you to the show. And for all my new listeners, I want to give you a little bit of a background, a little bit of an idea of what Reality Spirituality is. What the heck is this show about? What is Reality Spirituality? Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guide. It's a guideline to living connected to our most powerful energy source. And some people use the term God. Some people use the term universe, source energy, higher power, whatever term you want to use. It is a way to live, always plugged in, always connected, never, you know, and you feel when you're disconnected, but always in this flow of actually being and living who you really are, which is an extension. You are an extension of the universe. You are part of this powerful, powerful being in this physical body. And remember, too, that this journey that we're all on, it's an individual journey. It's a journey that's unique to each and every one of us. It's a journey that is, I like to say, we are as different as our fingerprints, and that is true. What feels good or inspires you might not feel good or inspire me, and that's okay. Who wants everything to be the same anyway? I mean, listen. Everything, all of us are uniquely different and are uniquely special. And each one of us has something to share, our unique abilities, our unique perspectives. Each and every one of us has something to share with the world in our own way. And I just want to embrace that and also share with you that you, my dear audience, you, my dear listener, are special. You are evolving. You are evolving as slowly or as quickly as is in order. There is nothing you need to do. There is nothing that you should do. Only what you are inspired to do. What you listening to your intuition, what you are inspired to do. And this show just breaks down our everyday life experiences from the mundane to standing in line at the checkout counter or catching a bus or riding in heavy traffic or people, I don't know, saying things that might annoy or upset. This show is about how to stay connected, how to remain happy. And I'm talking about an internal happiness. From the inside out, regardless of your circumstances. And that's what this show is about, Reality Spirituality. Now, today, I'm so fortunate to have my guest, who is Marnie Spencer Devlin. Marnie Spencer Devlin, hyphenated name. I love hyphenated names. And let me just share a little bit about Marnie. Put your seatbelts on, because this is going to be very gripping. Marnie is a best-selling author of Crawling into the Light. oh, she has gripping in her own bio. Wow, that's a coincidence or not. She's had a roller coaster ride from her victories to her unspeakable adversities. She's experienced molestation, rape, heroin addiction, homelessness, and finally time in the big house. Oh, Jesus. All before her subsequent and miraculous rise to a 20-year career as founder and president of a multi-million dollar marketing company. Now, this marketing company, if that wasn't enough, but her experiences before, she was stopped in her tracks by a deadly diagnosis, and she was only given a year to live. Oh, my goodness. You know what, Marnie? My life is boring. Jesus. However, that was when she gained an amazing insight that spawned her latest book, The Iceberg Principles. And I'm going to let her explain all of that. I cannot wait to have you on the show. I cannot wait to have you share with my audience. Marnie, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being here with all of us.
Hi, Rebecca. It is such a pleasure to be here. I am truly, truly excited because you and I have exactly the same message. It was so excited to hear your lead-in to the show today.
Now, let me also invite, before we go, let me invite my audience to call in if you're listening live. You can call in and speak with Marnie, ask a question, or share whatever your experiences are. And then calling number is area code 646-564-9619. Area code 646-564-9619. And let me also share that you can find, you can get more information on Marley's website, which is www.theicebergprinciples.com. Theicebergprinciples.com. Marley, again, welcome to the show, and just give us a little brief introduction. I mean, that was a lot. I've never had a guest on the show that has had such a interesting, fascinating, challenging journey.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. I thought I'd cover it all. I thought that would just, I'd leave nothing out and I'd cover it all. And that's pretty much what I did with my lifetime. I really did. Well, as you said, I was born in difficult circumstances. I was molested the first 10 years of my life. And at 12, I was raped the first time. I was raped again at 14. And at 17, I met a man and married him and thought that would take me away from all that craziness. But it turns out I kind of really went from the fire into the frying pan. He turned out to be so insanely jealous that he wanted to keep me. And in this effort, he cooked himself up this plan, and he got me intentionally addicted to heroin. And the idea, of course, being he would control the heroin, he would control me. And that plan backfired. I did get away from him, but by the time I got away from him, I was a junkie. And I was hooked. And so I had to learn to do what it takes to be a junkie every day. And I became a criminal, and I became a prostitute. And when I couldn't do that anymore, I became homeless. And I lived in a burned-out car in L.A. someplace. And that was kind of my bottom. Couldn't handle it anymore. I turned myself into the authorities. I was hoping for a little slap on the wrist and move into the sunset. Nothing doing. I was sentenced to 2 years in state prison. And that was really my turning point. And my turning point had come when I said that I deserved better than this. And I turned myself into the authorities. But then I got time anyway.
Wait a minute, because you just hit a point. You just hit a point. You just said something that is really powerful, and I just don't want to overlook that. You said you wanted something different when you figured out that you deserved better. How the hell after all of that happened, and, you know, I'm listening to you with this story, and there is not one speck of energy that is energy of a victim. So I'm sitting here with my mouth open. But how did you get to the point where you felt that you deserved better? How did that evolve?
That is what's called hitting bottom. And it really has to get to a point where where really life is so bad on the outside that you get to a point yourself where you say, this is worse than I deserve. I deserve better than this. And that's when you're willing to do what it takes to turn it around. It really is just like the visual of when you're diving down in a pool and you hit bottom, and that's when you can finally move upward. It was a tiny glimpse, and I wouldn't have told you that I was feeling better at the time. At the time, I didn't think that that was a massive turnaround for me, but in fact, it was. I got to the point where I said, I cannot take this anymore. I deserve better than this. And I announced to my friends, I'm done with this life. Tomorrow I'm going in and I'm turning myself in. And I did that. And it was really hard to sit there all day long and wait for them to finally arrest me. I went down to court. It was very, very hard. But I had hit that point where I said, no more. I deserve better than this now. And that was the, looking back now, I can say that was the turnaround point that changed everything for me. And every addict has to get to that point where they say, I deserve better than this. That's really all it is. It's as hard as that, and it's as easy as that. So,
I'm listening, and I'm thinking that you know, turning your, basically what you're doing is, even to the point of, you know, all of your breaking away from the behavior, even to the, you know, your boyfriend, gentleman, whoever, whatever you want. Okay, the asshole that tried to get you on heroin.
There we go. Let's just call him by his name. Yeah, I married him.
Okay, your asshole husband. Even that, you know, you were breaking away slowly from all of it. Just you were just coming into your own very, very slowly, and I just. It's, you know, like I tell my audience, there's no rush to this growth. We're not on a timetable. We're on the universe's timetable. And just the fact that you, I mean, I'm just sitting here with chills just listening. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm just
yeah, because you know we're just at the beginning here. No,
yeah,
what I actually found out, and that I want to give a sneak peek to where this is all leading. What I found that everything happens for a reason. Everything is part of our purpose, our ultimate destiny. It is all part of a reason is what I recognized. But as far as my own journey was concerned, so I had really had this turnaround point. So when I was sentenced to prison, I was terrified and I was so afraid. But I also made up my mind that I was going to use this time as a school. And while I was there, I took care of my body, and I just tried to just walk the straight and narrow. And by the time I got released, I really was a different person. And I got myself a job in marketing, and I really enjoyed that. And I worked my way up, and eventually I started my own company, and I turned that into a multi-million dollar company. And my life really changed. So for a good 20 years, my life was an absolute fairy tale. It looked fabulous. It was fabulous. I got a mansion overlooking the ocean in Laguna Beach. It was just really, it was a wonderful life on the outside. But all that money, it turns out, really didn't make me happy. There was a chasm inside of me. Somewhere I was still that abused woman, that molested child. And it seemed almost like the richer I got, the bigger that chasm inside of me grew. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I just knew that I was anxious. I couldn't sleep. I was depressed. I was a multi-millionaire, and I had to be on antidepressants to help me cope with this existence, which was a beautiful existence on the outside. But I wasn't happy on the inside, and I couldn't figure it out. I always said, man, how rich do you have to get before you're finally happy? And it just wouldn't come. And this it was this buildup inside of me, and finally I got sick. And there was all these treatments and all this good stuff, and eventually in 2008, they told me I had a year to live. And that's when everything came to a screeching halt. Because when you get a diagnosis like that, it really wakes you up. It really makes you think. And I couldn't work anymore, so my company was gone. I ended up selling my beautiful house because you can't take it with you. What's the point? So I did one of those estate sales. I sold everything that I had, and what was left from a 4,000-square-foot house was two suitcases, and I went back to Germany, where I'm originally from, to write my book, because I thought maybe my life had to stand for something. Because here I had all this crazy existence, all these bad things in the early life, and then these incredibly good things the last 20 years, and now it's all just going to end for nothing. And I just couldn't believe that that would be the case. And so I wrote my book, Crawling into the Light, and I did a lot of thinking, and I did a lot of meditating, and I did a lot of questioning, and I came across this concept that I called the iceberg principles. And that was so paradigm shifting for me. It changed everything for me. And that's when I realized that everything happened for a reason. Everything was part of my path. And I found new energy, and all of a sudden I just knew that I was not dying. I knew that I was really just starting. I had found my purpose in life. And when you find your purpose, when you find the reason that you exist, everything changes. You get passionate about life. You get good. And so instead of dying, I didn't die, obviously, I'm still here, I wrote a new book. And that book's called The Iceberg Principles. And that is what my life is now about. And that's the concept that I want to share with people. And the reason I'm so excited to be on your show, Rebecca, is because everything that you were saying in your introduction is basically what the iceberg principles says, but it illustrates it in a picture of the iceberg. And so that's going to be the exciting stuff. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I love that. I love that. Wow. You said so many really good things also. You're talking about how you came from being molested, being raped, being a heroin addict, thrown in prison, homeless, to being very wealthy, having a mansion on the hill in Laguna Beach, millions of dollars, and still not happy. And see, that's what this show is all about. It is about us from the inside. The inside is the whole enchilada, if you will. The inside is the whole. That's if anything is going quote unquote wrong on the outside, and we already know that nothing is going wrong because everything is in perfect order. But if anything is going in a way that is a little off, then all we have to do. Let me just, because I like to just speak about myself. I don't like to. Well, all you have to do. All I have to do is look in the mirror and go within and say, okay, what is my issue with this? There is something that is my issue with my job, and it's also my job to discover what that is. It's nothing to do with what's happening to me. It has nothing to do with what other people are saying to me. It is something to do with an internal issue. And that is what we're both saying, right, Marnie? Right?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Who you are always shows up. That's what shows up as a mirror in your life in front of you. It's never them. It's never other people. It's always your own reflection that's showing up. That's hard to grasp for people.
That's hard to grasp for me, and it's very, very painful because it's so easy to point the finger at other people, and it's so easy to point the blame at other situations. I mean, it's what we were taught to do. We were taught to do
exactly.
that. We were taught to do that.
It puts you in charge. It's really great news.
Yes.
that you can say that it's not them. You're the one that's in charge of your experience of your daily life. It's not what they're saying. So it's really great news as well once you kind of grasp it.
Yeah, you begin to realize what is this, a tag team here? What do we have, the same concept? Yeah, what happens is you begin to realize you have all the power. You are the most powerful entity on this planet. It's you. It's all about you. That's what makes it so great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, we get so caught up in our thinking, and it's in the egoic thinking. And this is really where the iceberg principles provides a wonderful illustration. And let me tell you about what that means. You know what an iceberg looks like? You know, it's got, you see a little bit of stuff on top, and then most of it you don't see. And what you actually see, there's 4% that shows on top, and 96% is submerged. And human beings are very much like that. We're very much like icebergs in the fact that only a little bit shows on top. The body, the mind, the part that shows in the mirror, that's your 4%. That's what shows on the surface. But who you really are is invisible. Your physical qualities, your physical DNA is what shows in the mirror. But who you really are is your gifts, your talents, your characteristics, your strengths, your capacities. All those things are invisible. And God forbid something happened and you'd lost a limb or you lost something on your physical body, your outer image would change a lot. But who you really are wouldn't be touched at all, because who you are is consciousness. Who you are is invisible. But most people live their life only on the surface. They think the part that shows in the mirror is all that they are. So the body is pretty much all they are. And there's many people that question, is there a God? Does anything like that even exist? And they completely ignore all the evidence that's all around us. And they only see that they are. And when you see yourself in the mirror, you're just disconnected from everybody else. It's just you standing there. It's just little you standing there. And our body is the vehicle that carries us around, the consciousness that we are. And the mind that we have is like our computer. And the computer does exactly the same thing as your computer on your desk does. It gathers information, it processes information, it stores information, but it's not who you are. But it is a sentient machine, this computer that we have. And it thinks that it is real. It's our ego. And according to the ego is just like the computer in your car. It only knows about the computer in your car only knows about your car, and your ego only knows about the physical world. It only knows you as this separate individual, unconnected to anything else. And according to the ego, life is about competition. It's about survival of the fittest. You compare. The ego always compares. Don't we always compare ourselves to everybody else? And there's always somebody who's smarter than you, who's faster than you, who's richer than you. So that means that you're not the fittest. So what does that say about your chances of survival? So the ego is always running scared. When we're caught up in ego, we're really always afraid. And so that's how most people live their lives, is from this egoic perception that they're just separate and they're completely cut off and disconnected from their own 96%, from their own real consciousness. And just like an iceberg is frozen water that's immersed in more water, who we really are is personalized consciousness that's immersed in universal consciousness. And that's who we really are, and that's what we're really connected to. And I believe that that's what you were saying, what your message is with reality spirituality, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. But there's another thing that there's something else that I would like to add to that. Because I've done, it's interesting because I always use the analogy of the baby. You know, we have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old sitting on, let's just say they're sitting on the front lawn of their house, and their house could be burning down, and the parents could be fighting, and the dog could get run over, and the baby is just sitting in the yard, having a great time. So we've learned all of these things. We've learned how to compare ourselves. We've learned how to have, wanting more than what is, wanting more than what the moment is offering us or bringing to us. And it's basically letting go of all of these conditioned responses, conditioned ways of thinking, and even to the point where there's a guest that I had on a few weeks ago, and his name is Noah Elkriff, and it's the same thing that Byron Katie talks about, is that these thoughts, they're not true. All of these thoughts that we have in our head, basically they are not true. They are not real, like you were saying earlier. And the other thing I want to say is because last year before, I was a big ego basher. Bash the ego. Damn ego, you're worthless. You're always wanting to make me feel bad. But now I've gotten to the point where there's no resistance even of the ego, because the ego does have a place. The ego does have a purpose. And the ego has a purpose. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to wash my hair. I'm going to, I'm going to put something on that's pleasing. So I want to share with my audience that resist nothing, accept all of it, even the ego, but know the ego's place and know the ego's purpose.
Well, absolutely. The method that I teach, though, because I think it's difficult to watch your thoughts or to be in your thoughts, and whether you resist it or you don't resist it, as long as you're caught in your own thinking, it's very difficult to get out of it. But as you say, the thinking has an absolutely necessary purpose. We don't want to stop the thinking. Heck, we need it. I mean, that computer, it helps us navigate this physical realm, so we absolutely need it. But what we do need to realize is that we are not that intellect. We are not that ego. We are the presence within. We are consciousness. And when the consciousness expresses itself, that's when we recognize that we actually have great importance in life. Everybody exists for a reason. The universe, universal consciousness, has never made an unconscious act. None of us happened by accident. Universe went, oops, didn't mean to make that one. We all exist as a deliberate act of consciousness, and we all have a reason for our existence. We all have gifts and talents that we are meant to use. They are the tools that are part of our destiny, and the things that we're good at, those are the things we're born to do, and those are the things we're meant to express in order to express our purpose and our destiny. And when you truly recognize your own significance in this life, your own importance, that's when ego falls into place, when it's supposed to be, because you are important. You are necessary. By all means, you should take care of yourself, and you should look your absolute best. You should hone who you are to your absolute excellence and be the very best you that you can be. The part that you shouldn't do is compare yourself to somebody else and say, oh, they're better than I am, because they're not. There's only one you. There's not a version 2.1 Rebecca walking around anywhere. You are the best there is. You're the only one in this entire universe. So you are important. You are significant. And your gifts and your talents are here to be expressed. And you're supposed to express your very best being. And that's when everything falls into place. The problem is with most people is they compare themselves to everyone else. And when kids get into the world and say, okay, now you make something of your life, and we try and find out what job are you going to do. So we try and look for a job that, I don't know, makes us the most money, or that our parents want us to get into, or maybe something that's the least distasteful to us, but we never really ask ourselves, what am I best at? What are my gifts? What are my capacities? What are the things that I'm really supposed to be expressing here? We think they're not going to make us any money. We think that unless we do a job that's going to make us money, we're not going to be able to support ourselves. But that's putting the cart before the horse. Abundance is a universal attribute. And when you step into alignment with who you are meant to be, you step into the flow of the universe, and abundance expresses naturally in your life. So when you do the things you're meant to do, Abundance is a byproduct. It just comes. When you set out to make money, you can do that, but it's hard work. That's when life is hard. That's when a job is a hard job to do. When you're doing the things you're meant to do, oh, my God, you do it all day long. You do it whether they pay you or not. It's because that's what you love to do. And when you love to do, the money comes. So that's when everything comes from a completely different perspective, and it makes sense suddenly why you have the gifts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the message of the iceberg principles.
Mm-hmm. Let me go over a couple of things that you mentioned because they're so important. And I'm so glad to have this forum with you because everything that you said, I totally believe and I do, 100%. However, there's something that, I feel really, for me, I am connected so strongly with the universe, and I have to share with you that I too was on this. I was on this kick about what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Because if I discover my purpose, I know everything's going to be great, or I know I'm going to be making money and all that. But the interesting thing, what I have found is my purpose, I'm just speaking of myself, and everybody is different. I say we're as different as our fingerprints. My purpose,
I agree,
is to be an example. A human physical example of what the universe is, of what a great power is. And I call him my soulmate. And this gentleman, I mean, all of his life, do. And now he's telling me he's not doing anything. His purpose is to do nothing. His purpose
perfect.
Well,
there's wisdom in that.
What?
There's wisdom in that. We are human beings, not human doings.
Exactly. And so I want to also leave my audience with that message, that your purpose necessarily doesn't mean you have to do anything. In fact, I think the purpose is to really understand deeply that you are here to experience joy, you are here to evolve, you are here to grow, and this thing, abundance, has really nothing to do with money. Abundance is being able to look out and say, oh my goodness, I'm awake, I can breathe, I get an abundance of in the moment, of an abundance of wisdom, abundance of knowledge. Abundance doesn't necessarily mean having cash because, oh, let me just say something, Marley. I am broke. And when I say that, I mean it. I have never been happier in my life. And of course, I can pay my bills, but I have never been happier. And I have never been more content in my life. And the universe I've even had conversations with the universe. And I said, well, where's my abundance? Where's my money? Where is this shit? And the universe said, you have to believe that they spoke to me, they speak to me. You have to believe that you are abundant without any physical evidence of it.
Are all your needs met, though?
What?
Are all your needs met?
Yes.
Or are you lacking things?
I'm lacking nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. That's abundance. People are afraid they're not going to make ends meet, and the level of what the amount of money or the number in your bank account is completely irrelevant. As long as you can do all the things that you want to do, I think you're abundant.
Well, it means
different things to different people. Some people maybe they need a big number in their bank account, and that's good. More power to them. But I think abundance universally simply means to be able to do the things that you want to do. And if you are in consciousness, then if you see, if you caught an ego, then you're going to want the big number and you're going to want the glitzy things, and then those things mean something. But that's when you come from that egoic perspective of survival of the fittest, when that having these things means basically your survival. But when you come from a point of consciousness, when you come from a point of rightness and alignment with your soul, those things don't mean that much. But as long as all your needs are met, and everything, your needs must be met. You got to have enough food. You got to have your rent paid or your mortgage paid. You got to have all your needs met. And
well,
then enjoy.
Wait. Well, see, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with, and I'm saying this with so much love. You can feel me. I don't agree that you have to have all of your needs met. However, I do agree that the universe gives you what you need. Whether you think that it's enough is totally, that's kind of an ego thing, what you think. But the universe always supplies you with what you need, even if you're homeless, even if you have absolutely nothing. This is even deeper than having your needs, because having what you need, well, I can come up with, I would need this or this, but the universe always supplies what you need. It's different from what you need and then what you want. And for me, happiness and this peaceful place is being at peace and being okay, and I mean in the deepest part of my soul, with everything that I have and everything that I don't have.
I agree with that, except I think that the universe, I mean, whatever shows up in your life is truly a reflection of yourself. So when you're homeless, like you were saying, the universe supplies even if you're homeless, I do not agree with that. I think being homeless is a reflection of a state of inner homelessness. And when you are in that state, you are not fully conscious. You're not fully aligned with everything that the universe is, because the universe is not abandoned and homeless. There's nothing glamorous about being homeless. Having been there, there's no way that you're conscious and happy and peaceful while you're homeless. It just ain't happening.
Oh. You know what? I love this. I love this. Okay, so I have a question for you. I have a question.
Okay.
That was your experience, because you know you said you've gone through this homelessness, and that was your experience, and you said there was no way that you could be happy or find anything good about being homeless. So this is my question for you. Do you think that there is anybody on this planet that, I mean, when I say anybody on this planet, we're talking about 7.2 billion people. Is there anyone that could find happiness and could be okay with being homeless? Anyone else?
Well, there are as many paths to consciousness and to enlightenment as there are people. So perhaps someone finds homelessness a path to consciousness. So I can never say no. I mean, the universe is absolutely infinite, so there are infinite paths and infinite methods and infinite ways of being. So to absolutely say no would make me wrong right there. So,
that's what I want to share. And this is, see, now we're getting into some really good stuff. Because that's what I want to share. My experience and my perspective has nothing to do with how, you know, I could go through the same thing that you went through, and I would come out of it maybe in a totally different way. So that's why I'm very careful to say this is my experience, and someone else might have the other experience, and someone else might be able to find something good and be happy and be content being homeless. I'm not saying that you would, but someone else might be able to.
Would.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't be all things to all people. everybody exists for a reason because everybody has a certain energetic frequency, and you're going to be drawn to people that are of similar frequency. And so my message is my message, and there's going to be some people that will be attracted to that and some people that will not agree. My clients will, for the most part, not embrace homelessness as a way to consciousness. Now, I'm not saying that that's not a possibility, but it is not. I think everything shows up as a reflection of you. And I don't think that, I'm not saying that there might not be someone in the Himalaya somewhere that may embrace that. I mean, certainly there are spiritual paths that embrace a very harsh existence as paths to consciousness and to enlightenment. But I think people tend to be, in this part of the world, we tend to want our immediate physical needs met. And you need enough food, and you need a shelter, and you need certain things, because they're not going to be, I mean, you just need them. They're just part of that. And I think the universe is amazingly abundant. And I think this abundance is reflected in absolutely everything all around us. Nature is so abundant. You know, there are billions of trees with trillions of leaves on them. There's just you look outside your window and you see the grass. You couldn't count the blades of grass. And so how many gallons of water in the ocean? And then when you go into the cosmos, the numbers get even more. You can't even express them anymore. You have to do them to the power of something to even express them. The universe is wildly opulent. And I believe right. that we are reflections of the universe. Each of us an individual. Each of us an aspect of infinite abundance and of infinite expression. And everybody is a different aspect of
right.
it. And so we all express it differently.
Right. Let me clarify that. I did not say that homelessness is a way to consciousness. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is someone, maybe more than one, can experience being homeless and being okay with it and being happy. Say, for instance, an example. Say they just left a place where they were getting beaten up every day. They were just getting beating. You know, a teenager that at his house, he was getting beaten, and he was every single day by his mother and his father. And so he decided to run away. And being homeless is joy to him. That's all I'm saying. It's just there's a different perspective. And I'm just very conscious of knowing that my perspective might not be someone else's. But, you know, we're coming to the last 15 minutes of the show. This is what I'd like to ask you. Let me ask you some questions, if you don't mind. And these are questions that are personal. But this is one of the things that I love to talk about on my show, and that is, how are you different? How are you different today? And I mean specific, in other words, your behavior or your way of thinking. What has changed? What has changed in the last month? Specifically, what has changed for you, for Marnie Spencer Deflin?
Well, I'm getting bigger all the time. I am getting, and I'm not. I don't mean physically. My consciousness is growing continuously, and as a result, I am continuously experiencing more and more joy and more peace, and mm-hmm. that is very palpable. And coming from where I came from, because remember when I was mentioning to you that I was so wealthy and I was unhappy, I used to wake up, and I used to call it the demons were already awake. I woke up, and I would just go, oh, God, another day. And I had a company that I absolutely adored. I woke up in an absolutely stunning environment, you know, overlooking the ocean. And I woke up and I just didn't even want to, oh, God. And I couldn't figure out how to get rid of that. And then as I grew in spirituality, I realized that my thoughts are things. And, oh, my God, that terrified me even more, because here I'm waking up with these absolutely dark thoughts. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm creating this dark environment. and this dark reality for myself, and it was just really, really difficult. And today it is so different. I wake up and I open my eyes and I literally experience joy. And it's because I do no longer live in my computer. I stepped away and I'm aware that I am consciousness. I am the presence within. And it's just this little shift to listen, to quit listening to your thinking. Because your thinking, you're never going to change your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind's a computer. And it continuously holds all your every experience that you've ever had. It's in there. And you're not going to make it go away. You can change your mind about it, but the synapses are there. So if you step away from that and you realize that's just my thinking, I don't have to listen to my thinking. I am consciousness. And so today I wake up and I go into meditation and I reaffirm my connection that I am consciousness, and I'm happy today. And that's reflecting in my life. My life's really, really good today. It's joyous. It's wonderful. All my needs are met. In every way, and I live a mind-blowing life, and that's getting better all the time. I got to breathe deeply to take it all in because it's just so darn good.
Yeah. I love that, and I love that you shared with us the story that you had a home in Laguna Hills overlooking the ocean, and from the outside looking in, everyone would think that it's marvelous, and that is really what the show Reality Spirituality is about. It doesn't matter if you have a house on the hill, and it doesn't matter if you're in the street and you're homeless. It all comes from within, and if you feel it, it's an internal knowing, it's an internal feeling, it's an internal foundation. You said something that we all are here for a purpose. One of the things that I love to, this analogy is, just look at a tree. You mentioned a tree. And there's the roots of the tree and the bark of the tree and the trunk of the tree and the leaves of the tree and the branches. And each and every one of us is part of this magnificent tree at this particular time. And there's, making a comparison, or there's something that the roots need to do differently, the roots need to be leaves. No. For me, I want my audience to embrace where you are, what you're doing. You're all part of this magnificent plan. You're all part of this magnificent journey. And relax. Yes.
Listen within. Listen within. Listen within. Listen to the voice within. The voice within is never going to steer you wrong. It's just the trick is to know the difference between the mind chatter voice, the voice of the ego, the voice of the computer, or the voice of of consciousness within. Your gut instinct, your intuition, that's the difference.
It's really easy to distinguish the two voices. It's really easy. All you do is you say, which one makes me feel good? Which one is making me feel good, and which one is not making me feel good? And, it's a simple distinction, and realizing that, and also you said something about consciousness versus unconsciousness, which I love. One of the things that we are, us humans, is this: somebody died, we have an instant reaction. Someone says something mean or rude, it's an instant reaction. Well, there's a difference between living consciously and living unconsciously. And when you're conscious, it's actually a slower reaction. It's a slower way of thinking. It's a slower way of responding than an immediate knee-jerk response. So I like to really focus on, for me, being very conscious about what I say and what I do, because whatever I'm saying and whatever I'm doing, I am creating my reality. It's easy to have a knee-jerk response when something happens that is, maybe it's an irritant, whatever. But to sit back and not respond to it instantly is a different way of living, and you're living more consciously.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So we have about 10 more minutes left in the show. Is there anything you would like to share with my listeners more about these iceberg principles, and what are some of the tools? I mean, how to specific tools that my listeners can take away that they can use tomorrow and the next day. Specific tools, specific ideas.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, the biggest one is to recognize that you are, in fact, the presence and the consciousness within, that you are not your body and you are not your mind. So in that realization, that's really the beginning of everything. And then there's many practices that we can do in order to get in touch with that 96%, to get in touch with that invisible part of us, to get in touch with consciousness. There are many paths towards that. The biggest one, the first one, is meditation. To simply take time on a daily basis, best in the morning before your whole day gets started and gets haywire, to take that time for yourself. And if it's just 10 minutes, and to listen to that voice within. And meditation doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to become Buddha under the Bodhi tree and meditate for years. It's a simple practice. And in fact, I offer a practice on my website. People that go to my website, marniespencerdevlin.com. There's a free ebook that I give to people that explains a very simple method of meditation. So that's a very important part, is to just take time to listen to the voice within. And then there are other practices also. There's so many teachers out there that offer different practices. One that I also recommend is the practice of gratitude, for instance. Gratitude is a very, very powerful practice to get in touch with consciousness. Gratitude is basically a very powerful thing that increases the frequency of any situation. So gratitude doesn't mean to count your blessings and to look for the things that are good in your life, although it does that as well. It's good to be grateful in all circumstances. But gratitude is very powerful. For a difficult situation, it increases the frequency of a difficult situation. So if we can manage to be grateful for things that are seemingly not so good, that we would on the surface judge as not a good thing and go, okay, I know there's a gift in this somewhere, so I'm going to be grateful for it. It immediately opens up the energy level and allows the good to come at us, and it resolves the situation and it teaches us the lesson much, much quicker. So gratitude is also a very powerful practice, as a for instance. I know we don't have that much time.
No. I was just saying, excuse me, Marnie, but do you realize what you just said?
I do realize what I just said. It doesn't mean that you have to stay stuck in it, though, and that's the part where we don't agree.
I know what I said. I know, but yeah, that's exactly, no getting stuck, but yeah, being grateful, even that. But yeah, exactly. What a great conversation. And so... I love the thing about being grateful. Yes, being grateful. Again, I like to compare myself.
There are many practices that I offer, and they're all described in my book, The Iceberg Principles. So it's available on my website. It's available at Amazon. Go practice it, and it shows in the last chapter, the seventh principle gives different practices on getting in touch with consciousness. So it goes from recognizing that your consciousness, explaining about the computer, the mind, explaining about the body, and then getting in touch with who we really are. And that's the whole practice of it. That is basically my mission in life, which is very similar to your mission in life, which I think is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Just sharing with all the information that the universe has given you, and all the information that the universe has given me, all of the insights, all of the wisdom, and I love that. And you know, we all are so different, and we all, both of us, our purpose is to really share with what we've learned, and hopefully, you know, one person's life will be touched by it and changed by it and uplifted by it and inspired. So we definitely have the same same agenda, same type of purpose. And I love the fact, thank you, I'm going to say thank you for letting me, you know, do a little toe-to-toe tug-of-war kind of thing. And I like to have discussions that I actually like when people don't agree totally with what I'm saying, and I like not to agree totally with what they're saying. It just adds more information to the listener.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm agreeing with you but not agreeing with you. Because if you're just talking about everything you're agreeing with, you're just preaching to the choir. There is nothing to be learned from that. Sometimes there's so much more to be learned when you're coming from different perspectives. That doesn't make you wrong or me right, or vice versa. We're completely individual. And there'll be some other people who listen to this show right now who think that we're both completely crazy. And now,
how dare they listen to the show and think we're
how
both
dare crazy? They? That's what I'm saying. How dare? And then there'll be others who recognize the absolute wisdom that resides in both of us. And of course, those are my favorite people.
Now you're talking. Yeah.
You can't take yourself too seriously, because otherwise it's about fun. It's about joy, you know. You can't take this stuff too seriously.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? You said something that's another one of my big points is nothing. One of my big things that I teach and I share, there is nothing that's serious. There's nothing that is happening that is serious. Oh, I hear a bird. Hi, bird.
Yeah, well, they're friends of mine. I think who were listening to the show, and they're texting in, which is very sweet.
There's nothing really that serious. Look at the animal kingdom. I mean, you know, listen, it's like you said, it's a reflection. We are extensions of the universe. Well, I'm going to say that I want to thank you so much, Marnie, for being on the show, and you can find more information at theicebergprinciples.com, her latest book, theicebergprinciples.com, one word, and you can also go to Marnie Spencer-Devlin. I'll spell that, M-A-R-N-I.
Actually, there's not a dash in there. It's just Marnie Spencer-Devlin without the dash in it. But if you go to the Iceberg Principles, there's actually a link on that one, and so you can just click on that, and that'll get you to my site, and that's where you can get the book. You can get both books, Crawling into the Light, The Iceberg Principles, and you can also download that free ebook about meditation, which is just a really valuable, easy, quick guide to help you get in touch with your precious inner self.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. I would love to have you on the show again. I thank you so much for being here, Marnie. You are.
I thank you. Yes, it was really a pleasure, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, audience, that's all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank you for listening. You know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. If you like more information on the coaching programs I offer, you can visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington.com. And you can go to the private sessions tab. If you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, send an email to info@RebeccaNorrington.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. And if you enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. And you can read my blog at rlnblog.com. Until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. Marnie and I were just saying it. You are consciousness. You are an extension of you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind with yourself. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Until next week, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you all for listening. I love you all.
Yeah. It's time to be real. Oh, yeah.